I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, and the Toronto Raptors are one win away from the NBA Finals after taking down the Milwaukee Bucks on the road by a score of 105-99 in Game 5. They have now won three straight against the Bucks, and tonight, I mean, this was just... You know, I mean, Game 3 was just a marathon. Game 4 was a party. And Game 5 was just about taking care of business, right? The Bucks had a chance to win this game. They had a very real chance to win this game. The Raptors, you know, they did not start well at all. I mean, look, the Bucks got every single advantage you could possibly want in a game like this, right? Like, I mean, you know, they get out to an 18-3 start, the Bucks. They're up 18-3. The Raptors look like they're about to get blown off the court, kind of like how the Sixers were in Game 5, if you remember from the last series, where the Raptors came home and just dusted them, right? It looked to be one of those things. But then the Raptors fight back. They claw back. You know, they use an incredible defensive stretch where for the first 6 minutes of the second quarter, the Bucks only had 2 points. And during that time, the Raptors just slowly chipped away, got themselves close, stayed within the game. It was a three-point game heading into the fourth quarter, and Kawhi Leonard. So normally I don't go back and rewatch the game. Normally I just like try to record as quickly as possible. But today I had to make sure to go back and rewatch the fourth quarter on League Pass after coming home from Fiserv Forum, just so I can have this correct, all right? Because Kawhi, in my estimation, played the finest quarter in Raptors history, and so let me just set that up right here. Because again, the fourth quarter was all about Kawhi, and the Raptors brought that home. Just gotta get my beverage here because I gotta really enjoy this. All right. So, Raptors down 3, start the fourth quarter. What does Kawhi do? First thing he does, steals the ball off a wild Giannis drive. Takes it the full length of the court, scores over two guys. It's a one-point game. All right, pretty good. Then, next possession down, gets Chris Middleton, one-on-one. Chris Middleton tries to push him to his left, which is supposed to be the weaker side, but Kawhi stops on a dime, pulls up from the elbow area. 2 points. Then Kawhi drives the paint, collapses everybody, kicks it out. Fred VanVleet's wide open in the corner. Splash. Kawhi, by the way, tonight, 9 assists, career high. Then the Bucks call timeout. At this point, I think the Raptors had taken the lead, and Mike Boonholzer decides, all right, I got to change it up. I can't play Kawhi one-on-one. This is untenable. So what he decides instead is, because the Raptors have been getting so much penetration and kicking it out and stuff like that, so he just wants to limit all that by going to a switching seam. The problem is he kept Brook Lopez out there at center. And so Brook Lopez gets matched up with Kawhi Leonard on an ISO. Kawhi, the first time he sees this happen, immediately pulls up for three, nails one in Lopez's eye. Then the next play down, the Raptors kind of like, pitch the ball back and forth, but ultimately it's going to be Kawhi. It's pick and roll. He gets switched on the... Lopez, this time Lopez on a little bit higher. Kawhi steps back, hits another three. All right. And then a couple possessions later, Kawhi drives in the paint, gets fouled, hits two free throws. Then Kawhi drives along the baseline, collapses the defense. And it was actually kind of funny because Reggie Miller, I usually don't like his commentary, but he had a great fourth quarter because he was saying everything he was calling on everything. And literally on this play, he says, right as Kawhi passes the ball to Gasol, he says, yo, Gasol's got to make one of these threes right here. And right in that moment, Leonard kicks it out to Gasol. Gasol hits a three. And that, by the way, at that point, Gasol had no baskets, no points. It was just in that moment. We're 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter in a game where the Raptors had a 5-point lead at that point. But still, for Gasol to hit that three in that moment was incredible. Kawhi kicks it out to Gasol for three. And then Kawhi, on the other end, Malcolm Brogdon gets switched on to, actually. I think Pascal had the primary assignment on him for most of the fourth quarter. But Brogdon drives past Pascal, and he had a beat for the layup. But Kawhi helps at the last second, gets a block, secures possession. Then on the next possession, Kawhi attacks the defense. The defense kind of overreacts, actually, because Kawhi's not actually doing too much. At this point, he's a little bit tired. You can understand, because he's hit all these shots and made all these defensive plays and passes and stuff like that. But Fred does a really smart thing by spacing and relocating around Kawhi's isolations, because everyone, all five defenders on the Bucks, are concerned with how do we stop Kawhi. At this point, while everyone else is distracted, Fred sneaks around a screen by Marc Gasol, and it just so happens that there was, a puddle of sweat or something on the ground. Chris Middleton slips, Kawhi sees it, immediately finds Van Vliet, hits another three. And then, on the next possession down, Kawhi shoots a three, it clanks, he somehow dives in for his own offensive rebound, wins it over everybody. Like, he's at the three-point line when he shot the shot, and somehow he gets all the way to the paint to get the rebound. Then, in sort of his momentum is carrying him out of bounds anyway, but Giannis pushes him out of bounds as he's driving along the baseline, trying to kick it out. And he hits some free throws. Next possession down, he drives. He's fouled by Giannis. Some more free throws. And at this point, the Bucks are just making all sorts of mistakes. Kawhi's having, again, one of the finest quarters. Oh, by the way, he finishes the quarter with a key inbound play where the Raptors are up 3 points. They need to get the ball inbounds. Nick Nurse calls timeout. He puts all four guys lined up in a line, basically at the free throw area. There's some screens or whatever, but Kawhi ultimately is the one who cuts the backcourt, receives the inbound pass. Three Bucks defenders converge on Kawhi, because obviously this is an opportune time to trap. He's, below half court. And the Raptors it's a one possession game, and there's like 24 seconds or something left on the clock. So this is a great time to trap. The Bucks send three guys at Kawhi, and Kawhi throws this perfect pass where it's over the likes of Giannis and Brook Lopez, which is not easy to do. Those are very tall guys, they got long arms, whatever. Kawhi throws this pass just perfectly enough over those guys, but not far enough so that Eric Bledsoe can come intercept the pass. Instead, the ball lands perfectly in Kyle Lowry's hands. Kyle then immediately swings the ball off because Chris Middleton was converging. And really, the refs could have called a foul there, but Kyle did get rid of the ball immediately. And there was no call. The ball finds Siakam in the corner, and Siakam immediately makes the read, goes in for the dunk, 5-point game, game over. And so, like I said, Kawhi played a phenomenal game. The best quarter in Raptors history. I can't imagine another one better than this. I really can't. Just off the immediate memory, Kyle game 7 against the Heat was pretty good in the fourth quarter. He had a bunch of threes. Mike Breen said, bang! Bismack Biyombo had that one sequence where he blocked Dwayne Wade and got some rebounds. None of that is close. Kawhi took over in this game. He said, I won this game. I'm the best player on the floor tonight. I might be the best player in the NBA. And I'm just going to take over. And that's exactly what happened. It was a phenomenal performance. But I got to say, at the other end, too, the Bucks kind of... choked is such a rude word. But, how else do you explain the type of performances, the oddities that went on in the game today? So, when I mean choked, I mean, making mistakes that ultimately were within their control to not make these mistakes. They made these mistakes in very crucial times, and they lost the game because of it, right? And the way I'm looking at it is, the Raptors got 5 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter. The Bucks are, throughout the season, they were the best defensive rebounding team in the league, and the Raptors, for most of this game, didn't even try to attack the offensive glass because they needed to send everyone back in transition, and so they basically just said, we're not going for the offensive glass. But in the fourth quarter, the Raptors made a point to go collect some of their misses. Again, it's a little bit easier to rebound your misses when you got one guy who's scoring at will, so the rest of the guys can just get into position and stuff. Nevertheless, like, you know, five offensive rebounds, including one where, okay, so it's a little fluky. Kawhi takes a turnaround jump shot in the post. It glances off the underside of the basket, and Gasol somehow out-wrestles Brook Lopez for it. And this is right as the shot clock's expiring, and Lopez fouls Gasol. Now, initially, it was called a shot clock violation because it didn't look like the ball had actually touched the rim. They go review the play, found out it did deflect off the rim, and that becomes two free throws for Marc Gasol at a point where it's a two-point game with like 35 seconds left. I don't know what the hell you're doing there, but you got to get that rebound immediately because they got the stop on Kawhi that they wanted to. But they make that mistake, right? It's hard to say that's not a choke. The one play where Kawhi gets his own rebound off his own three-pointer, that's a choke. I don't understand. You got to get that rebound. Right? What are you talking about? The guy's at the three-point line. Of all people, you can't let him get the rebound. I don't even know what Giannis was thinking. Like, why would you foul Kawhi Leonard in that situation? He's trapped along the baseline. He's literally falling out of bounds trying to throw a prayer back in bounds. There's no need to push him whatsoever. That's a choke. And then on the play after the Marc Gasol, you know, the free throw, or whatever. So Mark gives them a chance because he leaves the door open by hitting the first free throw with the push to lead to three. And he misses the second free throw. So there's a chance. And then what do the Bucks do? Instead of getting the ball into Giannis's hands or maybe calling timeout or whatever they wanted, could have done a lot of things with that. Instead, Eric Bledsoe rushes up the floor for no good reason. Everyone is tired. There's no transition opportunity. Kyle Lowry tracks him all the way. Bledsoe leaves his feet to make a pass. He barely gets it to Brogdon in the corner, who's already covered by Pascal. Pascal made a great decision there not to overhelp on Bledsoe, but instead to recover to the corner shooter. And so it was lucky in the first place that Brogdon even caught the pass from Bledsoe. This is just completely stupid, and I don't know what the hell you would want to. Like, there was just no point of that as a point guard. And then just so it happens, Brogdon is then trapped against a bigger player in Siakam, who's a little bit quicker. And what happens? The loose ball is produced. He can't dribble out of the corner. And upon review, it's shown that Brogdon, the ball slips off his leg. And that's essentially the game. And then on the ensuing possession, you send three guys to trap Kawhi. Okay, that's one thing. But again, this was like, they could have fouled. They could have done a lot of things there. They could have done a lot of things. But instead, the Raptors are able to get a dunk out of it, uncontested dunk, to push a three-point game into a five-point game. And this is with like 26 seconds left. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many points where the Bucks could have made some better decisions and they just didn't. And what it really comes down to is experience. Like, experience, you know, I said earlier in the series, I was like, man, the Raptors look too experienced. They look kind of tired or whatever. I don't know. That was at a time where I should have known better. Like, the Bucks had like a bunch of days off in a row. The Raptors are coming off that exhausting Sixers series. They're playing on the road. Like, yeah, of course the Raptors can play with less energy at that time. Now, we're deep into the series. The Bucks look kind of tired to me. The Bucks look kind of tired. And now that's when experience matters, because experience is knowing what to do in situations instead of having to think about what you got to do. And I think the Bucks really had to think a lot and really hard about what they wanted to do in the fourth quarter, whereas the Raptors just executed. Now, it helps to have a legitimate superstar closer in Kawhi Leonard, who, unlike Giannis on the other end, Kawhi can get his own shot, Kawhi can get someone else a shot, Kawhi can hit some free throws, Kawhi can dribble the basketball, Kawhi can dunk the basketball, Kawhi can rebound. I mean, Kawhi can do it all. Kawhi can play defense, he can block shots, he can steal. Giannis can do a lot of things, but in the fourth quarter, I mean, Giannis has 6 points, three shots in the fourth quarter as the best player. And this is the thing with the Bucks, right? Like, who is their closer? Who? Like, honestly, I thought, like, Chris Middleton was their closer or something. You know what I mean? Like, and he was having a terrible game. He had a baseline drive for a layup. Cool. That's all he did in the fourth quarter. Other than that, he fouled Kawhi, like, four times. You know, past that, it was, like, Brogdon, who got a couple driving layups. It's like, you're not going to win games against the Raptors with Malcolm Brogdon. I like Brogdon. I do. Like, I think he's really good at driving the basketball. He's very strong. He makes quick decisions. Good three-point shooter. You know what I mean? Like, you know, solid defender. Like, yeah, okay, that's cool. But, like, come on. At the end of the day, we're talking about Malcolm Brogdon closing the game against Kawhi Leonard. And why are those guys closing the game? It's because Giannis can't close the game. Yeah, what was Giannis doing? He hit a fluky three-pointer that literally on the broadcast, they were like, whoa,
I can't believe that he did that, right? No one in the arena expected him to hit that shot. And he hit that three-pointer, and then he got a pair of free throws where Kawhi stepped in for a charge. Giannis put his elbow in his face, and, you know, by the laws of basketball in Milwaukee, that is a foul on the defense. And so Giannis got two free throws there. Of course, he split it because, you know, he can't really consistently hit free throws. What did Giannis shoot today? 4 of 9. Four of nine. And this is without without the mockery of Drake, the illegal mockery. How dare he? How dare Drake, as a fan of the team sitting courtside, cheer when an opposing player airballs a free throw? I mean, just disgusting behavior. We have to arrest Drake for that, of course, right? At least according to the Milwaukee fans there. Man, they really dislike Drake. It's actually funny how much they're concerned about Drake when their team has actually lost three straight now after blowing an 0-2 lead. But seriously, like, Giannis was great throughout the game. You know, in transition, he's great. You know, at one point, he, like, dunked all over Danny Green and, like, you know, flexed and did all this stuff. And it's like, all right, so in the fourth quarter, in a half-court game, what's Giannis going to do? And if the Raptors just make their rotations correctly on defense, he's going to charge in and he's going to make bad decisions. There was one play where Giannis drove in on the fast break against five Raptors defenders. Five Raptors defenders all had a foot or more in the paint. And Giannis drives straight into the body of Marc Gasol and looks for a call. Doesn't get it. The whole crowd goes, ooh, there's a foul. It's not a foul. Like, what you should do as a star in that case is kick it out to literally anybody. Like, the whole system is a bunch of shooters around Giannis. He's going to drive. Someone's going to help. That's help. Five guys in the paint is help. And what does Giannis do? He makes the wrong read. He turns it over. Raptors score the other way. You know what I mean? And this inexperience. Inexperience comes in here. And again, like, it just stands as stark contrast to a guy like Kawhi, who in the fourth quarter scores 15 points. He's very calm, beats literally every situation the Bucks throw at them, right? Bucks try to, like, play him one-on-one with, like, Middleton. He scores. They try to, like, you know, all right, we'll switch. We'll put Lopez on you. He scores. All right, then fine. We'll trap you, and we'll send extra defenders. He finds the open man. And even around all of that, he still makes hustle plays and stuff like that, plays defense. I mean, it's the difference between these two teams, but seriously, this was a phenomenal game all around. Very enjoyable to watch as a Raptors fan, definitely. Because, you know, I think this game actually encapsulates a lot of what the Raptors have shown throughout the playoffs. In the sense that, you know, there are teams with certain identities. And the Bucks are certainly one of them. Like, they have Giannis. And they have shooters. And they're going to run kind of the same play every single time down. And no, not the same play, but the same relative actions. I'm not even decrying their offense. I'm just saying, like, it is a concerted strategy on their part. Spread the floor, have guys drive, you know, whatever. And you look at, it, like, you know, even the previous opponents, like the Sixers, you know, they had an identity. It was weird because they had multiple identities. There was Jimmy Butler's team, and there was Joel Embiid's team, and there was, like, the J.J. Redick team with, like, the dribble handoffs and shit. Like, whatever. But they had identities, right? And Orlando clearly had an identity, as, you know, we're happy to be here. Whereas the Raptors, like, I always felt like, you know, with the way Nick Nurse coaches a team and with how much inconsistency happened throughout the season in terms of injuries and this and that, whatever, like, he had to basically adapt on the fly. And I think what the Raptors have shown is, like, they're like a counter boxer. You know what I mean? Like, they lay wait for the other guy to throw the punch, see the openings, and eventually they'll solve and figure out the game. And I think, you know, you saw in this series, right? I mean, first of all, you saw it in in losing game one in Orlando and then having to figure it out. And then against the Sixers, they lose games two and three. Embiid is doing the airplane and stuff like that. And then the Raptors figure out, okay, you know, these are the adjustments we got to make. We got to go bigger. We got to put Gasol and Ibaka together. We got to have Gasol always match Embiid's minutes. We got those defensive lineups here and here and here. And then, you know, on top of all that, Kawhi hit some, you know, ridiculous two game winners in seven games. I mean, Kawhi is so good. But and in this series, they fall down 0-2. Right, just like in the start of this game, they fall down 18-3, right? And the Raptors really just have to figure out, what are we going to do? What's the actual game plan to beating the Bucks, and how do we execute that? And, like, they have the right strategy. Like, I don't know what else you say after three games. Three straight wins. The Bucks haven't lost three straight all year. I mean, they haven't had adversity all year. I mean, goddamn, they played a seamless regular season, right? Nobody gets hurt until the very end. Okay, so all of a sudden, Mirotic goes out for a little bit, and Brogdon goes out for a little bit, but it doesn't even throw them off at all. Like, you know, it's just, that's not
adversity. I wouldn't say Nikola Mirotic spraining an ankle in March when you already have the number one seed locked up is adversity. No, it's not adversity. After you've been sneaking up on teams all year. And then in the first round, they get, what, Blake Griffin without – sorry, the Detroit Pistons without Blake Griffin, so they stand no chance. Plus, Dwayne Casey's coaching that team, so – that's not even fair to slander Dwayne, but it is funny that he got swept for the fourth time in 5 years. Anyway, but they get the Pistons in round one. Okay, so like literally the gift of all gifts, you get the Pistons. Even a healthy Pistons team was getting smacked up by 20 points regularly by the Bucks this season. Second round, you get the Celtics, who in game one, they hit a bunch of shots and they're like, oh, we're great. Look, see, look all the talent that we have. And then it turns out the Celtics are frauds and they lose in five games. And you know, Kyrie turns into a really unathletic Russell Westbrook and, you know, the rest of the six. I mean, like, honestly, I was watching that series and I was thinking, like, who's the best player on the floor here? Is it, like, Jaylen Brown? Is it, like, Al Horford? Is it, you know what I mean? Is it Marcus Morris? Like, the Celtics were just completely dysfunctional. And in terms of second-round opponents, with the way the Celtics were shooting themselves in the foot, like, yeah, that's not adversity to me. I'm sorry. That's not. Losing game one is not adversity. As a Raptors fan, I could tell you that losing game one happens all the time, and teams overcome that all the time, as the Raptors have shown. And then they finally get to the Raptors. They win two games. They feel all great. I remember, you know, I was feeling like shit after game two. And again, I apologize for declaring that the series was heavily in favor of the Bucks at that point. It really did look like it. Obviously, that has changed. But I remember sitting in the podium there, you know, after the game, and they were asking Giannis, who was sitting up there, you know, making a little jokes with Brook Lopez, and I forget who else, George Hill was with him maybe? I don't know. They always like to have Giannis have another guy with him as if he doesn't speak English well enough after, you know, being in America for, what, 6 years now? I don't know why he has to have a buddy with him. But anyway, yeah, so they're all sitting on the podium. And someone asks, you know, and the people are asking questions, and Lopez is, like, making jokes, but, oh, I'll take this one for you, you know, Giannis, like, you know, I got this for you. And, you know, George Hill stepping in for Giannis. And the one question that I remember Giannis actually volunteering to answer was the final question where they asked him, hey, what do you guys got to do going on the road against the Raptors? And Giannis basically looked at him and was like, look, we just got to focus on ourselves. We don't have to worry about what the Raptors do. If we take care of ourselves, we're going to win. And I thought, I mean, I understood where the confidence is coming from. You know, you had breezed through the entire playoffs, breezed through the regular season, and you're up 2-0, and you had just smacked the Raptors in game two like it was never close. But for Giannis to say that, like, yo, like, it's just about us. It's not even about the Raptors. I was like, okay, so that's where the confidence stands. And then game three happens. The Raptors kind of figure out, look, we got to build this wall against Giannis. We got to chase certain shooters off the line, right? Marcus Gasol has to not get destroyed by Brook Lopez, which is within his capabilities. And after game one, Marcus Gasol has thoroughly outplayed Brook Lopez. You know, there's no Brook Lopez moments. Like, there's one where he hit a super clutch three today. But, like, what did Brook have tonight, actually? Brook had 16 points. That's not bad. That's not bad for Brook Lopez. But seriously, Marcus Gasol has outplayed Brook Lopez in the games thereafter. And yeah, I mean, they just kind of figured it out. And the Raptors have, you know, obviously double overtime. That was an exhausting game. But I thought the Raptors outplayed the Bucks throughout that game. They had two chances to close it out, up four in the final minute in regulation and in overtime. You know, but the end result there was the Raptors got the win because they played great defense. They shut down the Bucks. And, you know, game four, we see what happens. Kawhi's tired, but the rest of the team picks him up. And again, a great defensive effort against the Bucks. Raptors smacked them. And then they come into this game. And at this point, the Raptors know what they got to do. They really know what they got to do, right? There are certain points where they're going to... Well, first off, the number one key is limit the Bucks in transition. And the way you do that is really about not turning the ball over and committing dumb... taking dumb shots. The Bucks don't actually pressure you that much. And so if you just make sure you take care of the basketball by not throwing careless passes... And B, not taking bad shots. And when I mean taking bad shots, I don't mean to single out Danny Green. But here's an example of taking a bad shot against the Bucks, all right? So Raptors, I think, they had fought back into the game. It was like maybe the Bucks were up 45, 43 or something like that. And it was like 30-something seconds left. And Pascal Siakam had early – he had run down the court early to set up post position against George Hill. And Kyle Lowry was dribbling down the floor. And Danny Green was trailing right behind Kyle. And I didn't think Kyle should have hit Danny in the first place. I think Kyle should have just, like, settled it down and throw it in. But whatever. He passed it to Danny. And Danny decides to take a random pull-up three in transition that was highly contested. He was on the move. He wasn't shooting well up at that point. He clanks it. There's a long rebound. Bucks go the other way. Giannis gets fouled. Hits two free throws. That's a big swing because you could have just slowed it down, put the ball into the post, got a good shot with Siakam on George Hill, but instead they take a bad shot, it goes the other way. That's what they need to cut out, those bad shots and turnovers. If the Raptors can do that and keep the Bucks out of transition, then they're fine. Because honestly, the Raptors half-court defense is fucking amazing. I apologize for swearing, but it's fucking amazing, right? And it shouldn't be a surprise, I guess. Like, they have two defensive players of the year on the team. And, like, as much as I would like to criticize Giannis, he is a phenomenal player. He's an MVP. But what's an MVP to two defensive players of the year? He's getting guarded by Kawhi and then Marc Gasol. You know what I mean? Like, how are you going to solve all that in half court? And Mark, obviously, game one, he didn't make shots. And I think he got tired towards the end, and it wasn't great. But at least the Raptors' defense was good in game one. Game two was really bad. You saw Mark was a non-factor. And was honestly actively a minus, and it's not coincidence that the Raptors had their best, the worst defensive game of the series in game two when Mark wasn't in the game much. But in games three, four, and five, Mark has been tremendous defensively, tremendous. And, you know, his IQ is just so high in terms of when to come help against Giannis while also climbing out to the three-point line, It's just everything has been perfect. And Mark's also been doing a great job of boxing out. The Raptors have done a better job as the series has gone on in terms of winning the rebounds defensively, especially. The last two games, the Raptors have actually out-rebounded the Bucks on the offensive end as well as, you know, doing a better job securing defensive rebounds. And, you know, so look, if you can get the Bucks into a half-court situation, if you can wall off Giannis and then get back to the right shooters, and, you know, look, the Bucks, like, they said it today, like, oh, you know, we're the best three-point shooting team and we believe in ourselves and stuff. And I was like, yeah, cool, but, like, who's that dead-eye shooter on the Bucks? Like, I get the whole system, right? Giannis, you know, draws extra defenders, he kicks it out, there's an open three, and there's whatever. That sounds good on paper, but first off, the Raptors' rotations are great. Like, they are always putting pressure on the Bucks shooters. And you can see that by the percentages. The Bucks have... tonight was the Bucks' best performance from three percentage wise, and they shot 32.3%. That's the best out of five games that they've shot. And an additional point is the fact that the Raptors actually limited the Bucks to only 31 attempts. Previous games they've been firing up like 40-45, no problem. So the Raptors' defense has been great, but also, like, they're running the right guys off the line. It's like one thing if, like, okay, if Giannis wants to take a three, fine. He had two or three today, including one in the fourth quarter. I'm fine with it. Whatever. Eric Bledsoe hit some threes in early on in the game. You know, he had finished with 20 points. I'm fine with it. Like, if he wants to take some threes, that's fine. Those guys are not good shooters. What I want to do is run Chris Middleton off the three-point line. Chris Middleton only had 2 3-point attempts in 36 minutes. This is after he had a 30-point game. You know, you want to run Malcolm Brogdon off the line. You want to run George Hill off the line. Those guys are probably the guys that you really need to focus on. Brooke Lopez, you can late contest on. Nikola Mirotic is lost at sea. I can't believe the Raptors wanted to trade for Nikola Mirotic and instead got Marc Gasol's plan B. If the reports are correct that Marc Gasol was indeed plan B, I mean, what a plan B this was, because I would much rather have Marc Gasol than Nikola Mirotic right now. You know, okay, Ilyasova, whatever. Like, you know, like, you just make sure you close out on the right guys, leave the right guys open. They're fine. Like, if ultimately you're going to lose a game because Eric Bledsoe hits like five threes, then fine. I would like to see it. But realistically, that's not going to happen. And Giannis is not going to hit like five threes either. So, like, you know, Raptors have done a good job there defensively. And on the other end, it's just about the Raptors figuring out how to attack. And, you know, they've used different strategies. And this is what I mean by the Raptors being adaptable. Like, they have played different games throughout this. Like, game one was about Kyle exploding. Okay, cool. Game two, let's just forget game two. That was a disaster all around. But in game two, they figure out some stuff. You know, they can get away with a lot of Ibaka. They can get away with a lot of Norm. Fred can actually, you know, do some stuff in terms of his playmaking to kick out and stuff like that. His defense is pretty good. Game three was all about Kawhi carrying them in the double overtime. But that was a weird situation because, like, Norm had fouled out. Kyle had fouled out. Danny was not effective. Fred was shooting bricks. Like, you know, it was a tough game, but they figured it out. Mark figures out some stuff with the high post and stuff.
Game four, they put it all together. The whole team comes in. Kyle shoots a bunch of free throws. He's really opportunistic there, you know. And that was – game four was just such a strange game in the sense that, like, Pascal had, like, 7 points and Kawhi, you know, was pretty limited, although he still had, like, 16. But the rest of the team picks him up. You know, Mark has a great game. Again, his playmaking is great. The rest of the Raptors step in. Fred hits a bunch of shots, you know. Norm hits a bunch of shots. And today, I mean, the formula was just, you know, basically the formula was just let's just stay alive. Let's try to get some offense, you know, some decent offense down every single time. I thought, you know, Kawhi was obviously great throughout and obviously incredible in the fourth quarter. But just throughout the game, the Raptors were not shooting well offensively. I mean, they only shot 37% from the field. But what the Raptors did do a good job of was spacing the floor, stretching the Bucks out, forcing them to rotate, and attacking the paint with force. And Kyle Lowry was ahead of that today. He takes 8 free throw attempts. It's not usual for Kyle to take so many free throw attempts. Like, throughout the season, like, you know, I mean, previously Kyle used to be a guy who drives all the time, and he was great. But, you know, especially in these last two games, 10 free throw attempts in game four against the Bucks and 8 tonight, he really set the tone in terms of driving into the paint. But, you know, the Raptors just attacked hard. Like, Norm had 6 free throws. Serge Ibaka got 4 free throws. Kawhi got 8 free throws. You know what I mean? Like, or 9 free throws. Like, the Raptors just kept attacking the paint. And where they got it done tonight was a free throw line, 25 of 31. And I know Bucks fans are crying. I know Mike Budenholzer was crying after the game. He was like, man, I just feel like Giannis should get more free throws. And that's cool. But listen, man, when you're 4 of 9 for the free throw line, wishing more of that is, I mean, what are you really saying? What are you really, really saying? But yeah, the Raptors put a lot of pressure on Milwaukee's defense. You know, just going hard to the basket. Like, the Raptors aren't actually shooting well at the basket, but they got a bunch of contact. They did well there. Getting into the part of the defense also put people out of positions. The Raptors can get some offensive rebounds. And ultimately, it was about shot making. Like, the Raptors hit 18 of 43 from deep for 42%. And obviously, Kawhi was great in that department. He hit 5 of 8. But really, the only other guy that hit a tremendous amount of three-pointers was Fred VanVleet, who, I mean, he is the hero of this game. He beyond Kawhi Leonard, you know, Fred VanVleet shooting 7 three-pointers for 21 points and as a plus 28 in 37 minutes, he is the unsung hero of this game. And again, like, the Raptors have figured out a bunch of different ways to win games, and today was... was really about, you know, guys stepping up, making shots, and Fred, what a performance! He explained after the game, you know, he's been on this crazy hectic schedule, so like, you know, I don't know if I had the specific dates right, but like right before game four, it was you know, he found out that his girlfriend's water had broken, and so he had flown to Rockford, Illinois. He spent the night there. And then he flew back on the day of game four, probably landed around like 3 o'clock, said he got a nap, and then he played the game. He had a great game, 13 points, 4 or 5 shooting, 3 or 3 from deep, you know, for Fred in game four. And then the night after that, that same night, he flies back out. Then he flies with the Raptors to Milwaukee. Then because his hometown of Rockford is like beside Chicago, which is like an hour and 15 minutes away from Milwaukee. Like, so Fred drives from Milwaukee, you know, goes to spend the night with his, with family again, you know, and finally that, you know, they were discharged and stuff like that. And the morning of, Fred then goes back to Milwaukee for the game five today, catches another nap. And then he has this amazing performance. And, you know, it was funny, like Danny Green was joking before the, you know, during shoot around, it's like, you know, it's weirdly enough, you like, you don't sleep, you know, but you have all this like relief, and you know, players tend to actually play better after having kids. And I mean, this is what happened. This is what happened for Fred. Fred Senior, by the way, shooting 83% from three. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I guess I don't know what you want to call it. You know, just good karma. It's like the baby glow or whatever, but Fred was amazing tonight. And he was so good that he played 37 minutes. Nobody complained one bit. And you know how much heat Fred has been catching all playoffs. Now, we have finally figured out one of the reasons behind that, obviously, is that, you know, in addition to being, you know, outmatched in terms of size in the Sixers series, you know, he's been dealing with all this, you know, it can be easy to prepare for birth and stuff like that.
But I mean, you know, no one is taking more heat than Fred, and people are calling him unplayable. And true, there was honestly at times he was unplayable. He really was in that Sixers series. I mean, he played seven games, had 7 points total. But I mean, he's bounced back in a huge way, and today he was a hero. Like, you know, right after Brook Lopez hits his three, where like Brogdon, you know, gets his own rebound, saves it right somehow to Brook as he's diving out of bounds, and Brook immediately swishes a three. Like, at that point, the game's tied. It looks like the Bucks still have a chance to really pull away, and it would have been gut-wrenching because the Raptors had controlled the fourth quarter for the most part, thanks to Kawhi. But then who hits the three right afterwards in response to get the Raptors' three-point lead? Fred. So, you know, I'm real happy for Fred. I'm really happy for Fred, and I'm really happy they had this performance. But this is just a great game all around, man. This is just – I mean, the Raptors are one game away from the NBA Finals. They're one game away from the NBA Finals. And we're talking about an NBA Finals, by the way, and not to get ahead of myself. Not to get ahead of myself because they still got to play Game 6. But if they get to the Finals, it's already been announced that KD is not going to play Game 1 at least, and he may not return for the entirety of the playoffs. You know, he's got a strained calf. Obviously, we got to see game to game. He's obviously not going to be 100%. We've seen what Pascal has been doing on a bad calf. It's not the same Pascal as we've seen all year. And, you know, the Warriors' rotation is kind of short as it is. Now, granted, I mean, they just swept the Blazers, and they took two off the Rockets. They're still an incredible team. That 73-win core is still there. But if the Raptors, I mean, if the Raptors get to go to the Finals, they will have home court, which is important. The Raptors spent the last couple weeks of the regular season trying to get home court, not against Milwaukee, but against Golden State. And it really paid off because I think they had the tiebreaker. And it came down to the last day where the Raptors got home court. So the Raptors will start in Toronto. The weather's going to be beautiful. Kawhi's going to be there. And look, I don't want to call the Warriors undermanned because obviously they got like multiple All-Stars and stuff. No one's going to cry poor for them. But, I mean, at the same time, no KD. I mean, Steph is playing great, but I feel like the best player in that series is Kawhi. And so you got home court and you got the best player in the series. And I know it's the Warriors. I know they're like, you know, they're three-time champions, two-time reigning. But there's a window there. There's a real window there, and the Raptors are one game away from that. And so they got to go home, take care of business on Saturday. It's shaping up to be a wonderful, wonderful weekend in Toronto. The Bucks are obviously not to be underestimated whatsoever. They're a great team. They're a lethal team, and they can do some damage. But at the same time, the Raptors won three straight. This is a team that is, for the Bucks at least, they are finally facing adversity. They're not responding well to it. And like they, like I said today, there are multiple points today where I feel like they choked the game away. As much as the Raptors won this game, the Bucks also choked the game. And so, I don't know if the Raptors can come out, take the Bucks early, you know, first punch. You know, if the supporting players can get into a rhythm at home, if the Bucks can, you know, I don't know. The Bucks will be desperate. And look, if I'm the Bucks, I'm really feeling bad because, like, Bud played all his cards. Like, all the cards are out there. You know, like, the last cards we played in this series was Malcolm Brogdon starting in place of Nikola Mirotic. You know, that's been the Bucks' starting lineup all season because of, you know, Brogdon's injury. So Mirotic gets in, whatever. And they get through the Celtics with that. And so they stuck with it. But, I mean, you know, Brogdon was clearly a better player than Mirotic. Mirotic is just not having an impact in this series. And if so, he's doing it for the Raptors. And so they finally make that move. And so, you know, and that gets rewarded. Like, you know, they get out to an 18-3 lead, even in the start of the third quarter when the starters versus the starters, like the Bucks extended their lead. Brogdon has, you know, 18 points on 8 of 17 shooting with 11 rebounds, 6 assists. Like, you can't really ask for more. He's a plus 18. So you get that. And also, you get Eric Bledsoe actually playing like an NBA caliber player. You know, I mean, he had a horrible, horrible series. He's shooting 11 of 45 through the first four games. Today, he comes back strong, opens the game really, really strong, hits a bunch of jumpers, gets a layup, stuff like that. He finishes with 20 points on 6 of 14 shooting with 6 free throw attempts. That's pretty good for Eric Bledsoe. But, like, I don't know. What else do you want? Like, well, what else do you want? Like, the Bucks. It honestly feels like they have made all their moves and the Raptors just have them solved. That's what it feels like to me. Now, granted, Game 6 can go either way, whatever, but
I would have the Raptors as heavy favorites, personally. I really would. I mean, the Raptors supporting players play a lot better at home. We've seen, I mean, the last look of the Raptors was game four, and, you know, we saw what the supporting cast did there, and obviously we know what Kawhi looks. But by the way, today, I mean, Kawhi looked much, much fresher from, like, shoot-around onward. Like, you know, he was just rolling around on his, foam roller, whatever, joking with Serge Ibaka, telling Serge that he still owes him money. You know, he was having a great time. His mood was great. Nick Nurse explained that, look, he gave Kawhi the option because obviously Kawhi has been banged up. That, like, hey, look, listen, if you want to take shoot-around off to rest, you can. You know, Kawhi said, no, I want to be there. I want to work on some stuff. And then hours later, that stuff he was working on was the Bucks. That's how it turned out. But seriously, Kawhi is looking a lot better physically. I mean, it's shaping up real good. The Raptors have a chance to close it out in game six at home. So they got to make sure they take care of business. But again, Raptors are one game away from the NBA Finals. And they're going to be playing with a full assortment of players. Obviously, OG still hurt, whatever. But Kawhi's, you know, looks all right. Kyle looks all right with his, you know, busted hand and everything like that. You know, Fred's back. Norm's been producing. Serge's been producing. Raps look good, man. Raps look good. So, in terms of your three stars, Kawhi, obviously, number one, 35 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. A career-high 9 assists, by the way. Only 1 turnover, which is really good because the Bucks again are sending like multiple guys at him. 2 steals, 11-25 shooting from the field, 5-8 from 3, 8-9 from the 3-point line. Like I mentioned, he had 15 points and like 4 assists in the fourth quarter. Like just a tremendous, tremendous game from Kawhi Leonard. Obviously, he's the first star. Second star, I'm giving that to Fred VanVleet, obviously, and that's Fred VanVleet Senior, by the way. We don't even want to talk about the original Fred VanVleet. We just want to talk about Fred VanVleet Senior. Strictly speaking, the senior looks to be a different man. Looks to be a different man tonight. 21 points, 7-13 shooting from the field, 7-9 from the 3-point line. Only 1 assist, but honestly, I like how much Fred was playing off the ball tonight. Obviously, you know, did a really good job, obviously, in knocking down shots. And, you know, he just kept the team running. Like, he was a plus 28 in his 37 minutes. That's incredible. In a game that was only decided by 6 points, Fred was a plus 28. And, you know, he closed the game. He played the entire fourth quarter. He was playing so well to start the fourth quarter that Kyle Lowry was able to sit until, like, the 6-minute mark. Like, normally we'd be crying and begging on the timeline for Kyle to come back into the game. But Fred was playing so well, Kyle could just chill. Kyle would just show. And then when Kyle came in, Fred still closed the game. And I was ahead of Danny Green, who had a really another forgettable performance. And, you know, Fred was great. And he spaced the floor. You know, he hit some big shots. And, again, I was just really happy for him and his family. And this is just a great moment. And also, you know, it was good fortune. You know, the Raptors just happened to be playing Milwaukee, which is pretty close to Rockford. So he can, you know, go back and forth. But seriously, Fred was just... Fred Sr. was incredible tonight. And then your third star, there's a couple options to go here. I thought Pascal, even though he would look tentative at times, and he got slapped with 2 quick fouls, but he recovered. He had 2 big blocks in the fourth quarter there, one on Giannis going one-on-one, trying to go for spin move. Pascal blocks him. Oh, yeah. I enjoyed that moment for sure. It definitely is one of those milestones for Siakam. But you know, he has 14 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, made a couple big plays in the fourth quarter. You know, Marc Gasol hitting that 3 and also playing great defense throughout. I mean, oh, look, he only has 4 points, but defensively he was really good. But I got to give it to Kyle Lowry. Like, I mean, Kyle Lowry was just, you know, he was just the steadying force. And again, it's not really about, like, the scoring necessarily for him. But as he mentioned, like, you know, it's about his aggressiveness. And when he asserts himself on the game, when he drives hard to the rim, you know, when he forces the refs into making these calls, when he attacks and collapses the defense and stuff, he was great. And I thought he was, you know, one of the best players for the Raptors for the first 3 quarters. Didn't really have as much of an impact in the fourth quarter outside of reversing that ball quickly to Pascal, who dunked it. But Kyle tonight, 17 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal. You know, the shooting percentages weren't great, but like the 7 of 8 from the free throw line was pretty good. And again, in 39 minutes, I mean, I don't know what else you can ask more from Kyle than 17, 7, and 6. So great performance by the Raptors. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, I gotta give that to Eric Bledsoe. 20 points is a rarity for him in the series. He really doesn't look lost. Which, by the way, Bledsoe making these dumb decisions in the fourth quarter. The two instances where Bled tried to assert himself in the fourth quarter was one, he took a pull-up long two that bricked, which there's just no need for that at any point in the game, but especially in that point where it's a tight game in the fourth quarter. The last thing you want as a Bucks fan is to see Eric Bledsoe say, oh, it's my turn. I'm going to go take a long two and brick it. Like, literally, that's like, first off, the Bucks don't ever want to shoot long twos anyway, but especially if they shoot long twos, they want like a Chris Middleton post up or something like that. Like, they don't want Eric Bledsoe taking these random dumb shots. That was a bad shot. And then that, you know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, Gasol splits a pair of free throws. It's a 3-point game. Bledsoe races down the floor for no good goddamn reason, puts Brogdon in a bad spot, and they turn it over. Giannis doesn't even touch the ball. Like, but whatever. But still 20 points by his standards for the series and throughout the playoffs, really. You know, pretty good. And in terms of your Patrick Patterson Award, that's got to go to Chris Middleton. Now, granted, Chris did have 10 assists and 10 rebounds for the rare no-points double-double. Having said that, a man who had 30 points in Game 4 only scored 6 tonight, 2 of 9 from the field, 0 of 2 from the 3-point line. You know, just he couldn't impact the game with his scoring, and the Bucks really need that. In terms of their half-court score, Middleton's got to be that guy now. He's a little bit underqualified and overwhelmed in that role, but it kind of is what it is, and Middleton just couldn't do it tonight. So, you know, it was nice that he had some playmaking and stuff like that. That's cool, but, you know, he couldn't do that. He couldn't really guard Kawhi. You know, it's tough. So, yeah, that's the game. The Raptors now, again, they're one game away from the NBA Finals. I can't believe it. And the scenes after the game were great. Great scenes in Pfizer form. You know, lots of Let's Go Raptors chants. Lots of Raptors fans in attendance. Lots and lots of Raptors fans. Bucks fans filing out early. On what is likely their last home game of the season. You know, Raptors fans sticking around, chanting, "Let's go Raptors." at one point, like, the arena was, like, 95% empty. Most of it was Raptors fans chanting. And then there's, like, I look to my right, and there's, like, literally one man in his own section, one Bucks fan, like, screaming, "Go home! Go home, you guys! Go home!" And I'm just like, This is so sad. This is so sad. And, you got Drake at Jurassic Park. You got Drake, you know. It's funny how much Drake has become important in this series. Not because of, like, what Drake is doing. Like, Drake does this stuff every game. Like, it's funny to see Bucks fans freak out like this. When Bucks literally, do people not know Drake has a locker in the locker in the Raptors locker room? Do they not know he's the global ambassador? Do they not know? Have they not seen the memes of him reaching out and touching Bruno, who really didn't want to be touched at all? Like, did they not see all the memes of, like, Drake, like, whispering in players' ears, like the one where he clapped in Justin Holiday's ear with the Bulls, and then Holiday actually turned up, you know, committing a 5-second violation. Like, Drake's on the broadcast. Drake's very involved. When Drake's at the game, Drake's going to be doing shit. And so for Bucks fans to flip out because he gave Nick Nurse a massage, it's not even like Drake did anything specifically to a Bucks player or a Bucks coach. Nothing. It was just they took so much exception. Like, oh, he shouldn't be able to jump up and down? What? Like, be excited as a fan? Which, by the way, if we're talking about what Drake's doing on the Raptors sideline, I mean, what Gucci Mane was doing on the Bucks sideline today, I mean, he was up. He was standing. He was, you know, throwing the ball around, having an extended conversation with Tony Brothers on extended, you know, on during timeouts and stuff. Like, if we're talking about fan behavior, I mean, you know, you got to call it two ways, right? You got to call it two ways. So it's just funny. It's funny. It's funny seeing Drake clap back at, who was it? The Bucks co-owner, Mark Lazarus. No, the other guy, Wesley Eden or something. I don't know. One of the owner's daughters was at the game. She sat beside Aaron Rodgers. She wore a Pusha T t-shirt. Oh, that's cool. Haha. Remember that, like, that controversy from, like, a year ago? Wow, what a timely reference there. And then again, taking the loss, and Drake, you know, mocking her for it. Like, you know, It's tough scenes. It's tough scenes in Milwaukee, I got to say. Real tough scenes. A lot of people real upset. And me personally, I'm, you know, kind of looking forward to not having to come back. You know, I actually kind of enjoyed my time in Milwaukee. But as I left the arena, a Pfizer Forum, I looked to my right, and there was literally just the ruins of the BMO Bradley Center. Like, just piles and piles of just brick and concrete. It looks like a hellscape. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, I don't need to come back here. So, again, Raptors are one game away from the NBA Finals. Go celebrate. Come out to support the Raptors. Tell your parents to support the Raptors. Tell, you know, I mean, at this point, I don't know how the entire country isn't on the Raptors bandwagon by now. And come out to Jurassic Park. It's going to be beautiful weather on Saturday. And the Raptors, you know, you got a chance to close out in the six. And what do you call a sweep after going down 0-2? There's got to be some name for it, right? Like, it's not gentleman sweep. It's not it's not just like a regular sweep. I don't know, but there should be a name for it. But yeah, the Raptors, they're really about to do this thing. So,
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
I'll come back after Game 6 to talk about that. I can't believe the Raptors are on the verge of the NBA Finals. Wow.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.